You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bars on the market. Go get $10 off right now at BuiltBar.com with the promo code Locked On. This is a daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends, back together with my guy, Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how are you doing?
I am just fine, Vince. How are you?
It's great to hear. I'm doing just fine as well. And we have a fun topic to get into today, so I'm excited about that. We are going to, based on a listener suggestion, we are going to do Dodger, if let's just say post-corona, the Dodger, there's no more baseball. What other jobs could some of these Dodgers have? And a couple quick news updates. But before we get into it, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play podcasts. Locked On Dodgers. All right, just a couple housekeeping things. We didn't mention on yesterday's show, Gavin Newsom did say that California could, could have sports without fans starting in June. That doesn't mean that there will be sports without fans starting in June, but that it's a possibility after earlier saying it could be the whole year without it. Jeff, real quick, anything on that?
Yeah, not the major. I mean, my opinion all along has been I don't put much stock in anything politicians have to say about any of this just because everything changes so quickly.
Okay, just one other thing that came up. Alex Bregman left his agency. The report is LeBron James media platform Uninterrupted is doing a docu-series on the Astros sign-stealing scandal. Alex Bregman was part of Clutch Sports. LeBron James' agency is Clutch Sports. So at first, you know, everyone was bringing the two together. I wasn't quite sure if that was the case. Ken Rosenthal released the article that said it might not be the direct reason for it, but it might have been the last straw or an overriding reason for Alex Bregman leaving Clutch Sports, which is kind of funny. There's a few other things that, you know, Bregman could have took issue with, namely his contract and kind of how he was possibly directed in handling all this media scrutiny that the Astros and Bregman were going through. But kind of funny, a little story about Bregman, and he'll have a new agency now.
Yeah, it's always interesting to think about what role an agency plays in any of this. And, you know, I was listening to an audiobook, The Wax Pack, recently. And one of the guys that the concept of this book, and we'll probably talk more about it because I think we're going to have the author on as a guest here on the show. The concept of the book is the guy opened a pack of 1986 Topps baseball cards and then traveled around the country, trying to talk to everybody in the pack. And, one of the people he talked to was his childhood favorite player, Don Carmen, who pitched for the Phillies when I was a kid and when this author was a kid. And Don Carmen now works for Scott Boras as a sports psychologist. So that got me, listening to that got me interested in thinking about, you know, that role that the agencies play. And so, you know, you mentioned how utterly, terribly Alex Bregman handled, you know, press conferences and everything. And you wonder if he should have expected better guidance from his agency or if, you know, if that's their role or not. But yeah, obviously, you can't even really blame Bregman, I guess, if people intimately involved with his agency are actively working on a documentary that calls him a cheater. You know, I guess, I mean, the obvious answer would be maybe go back in time and don't be a cheater. But once you've already established yourself as a cheater, he kind of had no choice but to change agents. And it's funny because it's pretty inconsequential, the actual change, because he's not a free agent for like 4 years. And so whoever he signs with as his agent doesn't have any chance to make any money off him for a few years. And so between him being a cheater and not having any money coming in anytime soon, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't have an agent for a while. But anyway, it's a really funny situation that that's what drove him to change, the fact that somebody's calling him a cheater who works for his agency. So
sometimes one agent handles everything. Sometimes they have different types of agents or other people. So either way, whoever was in charge of Alex Bregman didn't do a very good job. And now he has this little fun story that comes a week after his Twitter was deactivated and everyone thought that it was because of them and constant harassment. But anyways, enough about Alex Bregman. We got a suggestion from a listener, Doug Reynolds, a couple of weeks ago, I think, when we maybe put out a call.
Doug Reynolds.
I don't remember exactly what the situation was. But either way, he asked, that was a little while ago. But we kept it around because we liked it, but we knew we'd have to put a little bit of thought into it. So the question is, if baseball were not to exist in a post-coronavirus world, what jobs could you see each player taking as a career? He said, for example, Stripling, a 12th grade econ teacher. Stripling is already involved in stocks as well. So, you know, Stripling is kind of an easy one to go after. So we'll leave Stripling off our board. But Jeff, I know you have a lot, but let's hear some of your best ones and kick it off for us.
Yeah. And since we're not doing Stripling, I'll just tell you, I went for his post-career. I didn't have him as a high school teacher. I had him as a getting independently wealthy in investing and stuff, and then becoming an Uber driver because he likes to talk to people. And I could totally see Stripling, if he didn't need the money, I just want to drive around and talk to people, you know, which might drive a lot of people crazy as an Uber driver. But that one doesn't count because Stripling's not on the board. So my first one, I'm going to cheat and do two people. Because I think Cody Bellinger and Corey Seager would co-own a dispensary, and Belly would be in it just for the perks, and Seager would quietly seethe and resent the fact that he had to do all the work of actually running the business.
Yeah. I'm not sure how much goes into it, but pretty sure it's easy to run a dispensary, especially if you're in California, in terms of clientele.
Yeah, but you still gotta, you know, you gotta keep the books, you gotta pay the rent, you gotta, you know, all those things. And I think Corey's getting stuck with the lion's share of all that mundane daily work because Cody just likes the job, you know.
Yeah, true. All right, so I'll go with mine, which is a little bit not a direct job. So Walker Buehler for me is a professional gambler. And I don't know, in this post-coronavirus world, if there's no sports, which if there is no sports, it would make it even funnier for Walker Buehler to be a professional gambler. But, you know, he just seems like a guy, you know, a guy that's addicted to winning competition. If he doesn't have that, he needs to find it somewhere. So, you know, he's putting money on anything. You could put marble racing on, you know, ponies if they're racing horses, or just at the craps table in Vegas, you know. Focusing on doing that or roulette or whatever it is. But I can see Walker Buehler in a nice little suit being a professional gambler.
Yeah. To clarify, are we allowed to do like the same ones, or like, could I do a Walker Buehler one later, or did you just take Walker off the board?
No. I mean, if you have something different, that's significantly different. I don't have a reason not to.
All right. Cause my Walker Buehler is significantly different. I have Walker Buehler as a Secret Service agent, you know, cause he's got kind of that look. He doesn't stand out. He's not, you know, physically imposing. He just kind of blends in, but you could tell he's ready to kill somebody if he needs to, or even just, you know, yell at somebody. And he definitely packs a punch that you wouldn't expect from his slight frame. And so I think he'd be a perfect Secret Service agent of just blending in until he needed to leap into action and then just destroying somebody.
I can see that. I can see that. We will get into a few more, but real quick, let's talk about Built Bar. Now, Built Bar, we've told you a lot of things about Built Bar, but you know, the biggest part of it is that they are great tasting and that they are healthy. You can get maybe some protein bars, great tasting, but not healthy. You can maybe get some that are healthy, but not great tasting. I don't think there's ever been both in one bar. And that's what you get with Built Bar. They have a bunch of different flavors. They're all chocolate. If you like chocolate, it's especially better if you like chocolate. And like I said, they're healthy. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Everything you need in a protein bar is right there for you. And right now you can get $10 off with the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. That's promo code LOCKEDON, $10 off, BuiltBar.com. And then you can go and get it yourself an audiobook. 24, life stories and lessons from the Say Hey Kid, all about Willie Mays and his inspirations and influences as he came to be one of the greatest all-around players in baseball history. He gives a lot of experiences that he had with positivity and meeting challenges and you know, having integrity and ultimately triumphing and becoming one of the greatest all-around baseball players ever. And if you get the special audiobook, there's a bonus conversation with Willie Mays and his co-author John Shea, and also a foreword read by Bob Costas. Perfect for Father's Day coming up, perfect for a world in which you may not be working or home a lot more, perfect for if you just love baseball and want to hear about Willie Mays. So right now, go get 24, the audiobook edition, wherever audiobooks are sold, and keep it locked on Dodgers. Okay, so we have been doing what ifs, and this specific what if, I'll keep it brief today, is more so about what happened to the other team, not even really to the Dodgers. And it has to do with the Dodgers manager, Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts was traded in 2004. We mentioned this when we did the deep dive of the 2004 season. But Dave Roberts was traded to the Red Sox in 2004 for a 26-year-old outfield prospect in Henry Stanley, which obviously if he's 26-year-old and still a prospect, he probably wasn't that good anyways. He never made it to the majors. There's not too much that affects the Dodgers, I don't believe. Dave Roberts was a solid player, but nothing that puts them over the top in the 2004 playoffs or in the seasons beyond that where they weren't as good in 2006. I don't think he makes them beat the Mets either. But if the Dodgers don't make that trade, it's very possible the Red Sox do not come back down from 3-0, do not break the curse, do not win the World Series that year. And it's possible that the Yankees could have 28 rings, or that who'd they play that year in the World Series?
Cardinals.
The Cardinals. The Cardinals could have another title on their hands. So that one doesn't really affect the Dodgers too much, but it definitely affected the Red Sox and all that came after that. So, yeah, the 2004 what if, Dave Roberts getting traded.
Absolutely. Or even if he was 6 inches slower and got thrown out of second base.
Yeah, or even if there was replay back then, and who knows if they – I don't think it would have been enough to overturn. But, yeah, definitely could have maybe affected that. Okay, so it's my turn for getting these guys some jobs if there's no baseball. And the next guy I go to is Will Smith. And Will Smith is going to be a private investigator. And mainly because he's so unassuming that, you know, if a guy like Will Smith struck up a conversation with you,
you'd tell him all your secrets.
Yeah, exactly. He has the Southern drawl a little bit. He has the easy, you know, he looks like a kid still. And like I said, you'd be one to tell him all your secrets or get into easy conversation with him. So I think he'd be good at sneaking around, picking up information. And he's pretty nondescript, so you would never really notice him wherever he goes.
Yeah, Will Smith's got one of those, like you read about a crooked grin and you think that's something that only exists in cartoons or books or whatever, but he actually has that crooked grin and just like, oh, shucks. You're like, oh, yeah, man, what's up? Yeah, sure. What do you want to know? Yeah, I'm cheating on my wife. You want some pictures? You know, yeah, you tell him all your secrets. All right, my next one is I'm going to go with Austin Barnes. Austin Barnes owns a hardware store, and it's the kind of hardware store that real, like, handy people who know what they're doing, they love the store because Austin Barnes knows what he's doing. He runs a tight ship. He, you know, but people like me who don't really know what they're doing dread having to go to Austin Barnes' hardware store because you ask a stupid question and he just stares daggers through you like, how are you still alive? How could you possibly need to know what aisle the hammers are on, you friggin' moron? That's, you know, but people who know what they're doing, they love Austin Barnes' hardware store.
Yeah, that's a good one because that's definitely a quality of some hardware stores, especially the local ones that you may go to. Okay, so my next one is Max Muncy, and this one's kind of simple, nothing too. Max Muncy's a PE teacher. Like, he is kind of, for me, like a definition of a PE teacher, really good at sports. Maybe he makes it, doesn't make it, whatever. But he goes back and, you know, gets a teaching credential and just teaches kids how to do things in sports or just makes them run if he's having a bad day or just doesn't like them. Which was all, you know, being not a PE teacher directly, but being a teacher and kind of coaching high school sports was always one of my options if what I really wanted to do didn't work out. So I feel like Max Muncy has the same aspirations in that sense.
Yeah. I tried to think of one for Muncy, and I think PE teacher is a good one. He doesn't share one major quality that the only former professional athlete PE teacher I ever had, which is being an alcoholic. I won't say who it was because according to Wikipedia, this guy's still alive and I don't want to get sued. But just know if you were my PE teacher in eighth grade, I knew you were drunk all the time. But yeah, Muncy would be a good PE teacher. All right, my next one, let's see, which one should I do next? I'm going to go with Jock Peterson. Jock, he owns a swimming pool installation company. Just because he likes being outside, man, just working with his hands, just out there doing the work, just being in the sun. And you know, occasionally, once the pool's done, you just go for a swim, you know. So Jock Peterson loves the work of just installing swimming pools, making people happy, maybe flirting occasionally with the housewife who's home while he's doing the work, and, you know, just enjoying his life installing pools.
I can see that. I can also see Jock doing something that doesn't involve any manual labor at all. So he could be at either side of the spectrum.
But the thing is, when you're installing the pools, that's hard work, which means you can get away with all the donut eating you want because, you know, you're getting started. You're picking up your donuts and coffee on the way to the job site. You're working hard, and so you don't feel guilty about the donuts. You've earned those donuts.
True. I can see that. Okay, so my next one is Alex Wood. And Alex Wood can fit in a lot of different roles, a lot of different spectrums, but I see his face on billboards and I see his face on bus stops and I see him as a real estate agent, and not just any real estate agent. He's only the big time real estate agents. He's the one selling $1 million homes. You know, he's the one getting celebrity houses or other things of that nature. And yeah, he's just always smiling. He's easy to talk to. He just seems like the people. There's two kinds of real estate people, or I guess any kind of people. There's, you know, the fake ones and the real ones. But Alex Wood is the real one that'll check on you, you know, 5 to 10 years after you get your house and make sure everything's still going all right.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great one. You know, I might quibble with his clientele because Alex Wood's a man of the people, man. You know, like he may do a lot of that high end stuff, but he's going to help your grandma find a house too. You know,
that's how he got to where he's at. He climbed the ranks.
Absolutely. All right. My next one is Matt Beatty. Matt Beatty lives in a small to maybe medium sized town and eventually becomes the mayor of that town. And he's the kind of mayor that everybody says, you know, you should run for governor, Matt. And he's like, no, I'm happy being the mayor of this small to medium sized town. But everybody tells him all the time, you'll be a great governor.
Yeah, I can see that. See, Matt Beatty's, he's got the smile for it, definitely, and definitely got the demeanor for that small-time mayor. Okay, so the next one doesn't take too much thought, but Mookie Betts, the video came out, I think, MLB a couple weeks ago, that he's basically good at almost all sports. So Mookie Betts owns gyms that cater to basically the Equinox of he's a direct competitor to Equinox. He comes up through the ranks. He's kind of like, you know, Globo Gym and Average Joe's. He's the Average Joe's. He comes up, takes down Equinox, and lowers the price so everyone can afford it and everyone can go to the gym instead of paying, you know, $250 a month or whatever they pay at Equinox. So Mookie Betts is a gym owner.
I like that. I have a gym owner too, but mine's a little bit different. Joe Kelly owns a CrossFit gym. Yeah.
And he, maybe and dabbles he tells you a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe a little bit of mixed martial arts too, you know, but mostly the CrossFit, you know. And Joe Kelly, I mean, that dude is posting so many CrossFit pictures on his Facebook page. It's unbelievable. And he's always got the glasses on, you know, but every year, like, you can measure how long he's on that CrossFit gym because he just gets more and more tattoos and they're all CrossFit related.
Yeah, I can definitely see that he would fit the profile of a CrossFitter very well. All right, we'll go, well, two more for me, one more for you.
Okay.
All right, the next one, Kike. I'm going to go Kike. Kike obviously can fit a lot of things. He can be an actor, he can be, you know, whatever, comedian, whatever. But for me, Kike is a world-renowned Zumba instructor. He is the Richard Simmons. That was the guy in the 80s, right? He is the new and improved and different demographic Richard Simmons. Kike is a Zumba instructor that makes millions of dollars off YouTube channels and eventually evolves into, you know, probably an app and some merch and all that kind of stuff. But he definitely got his start on YouTube and worked his way up.
I like that. All right, my last one is also a YouTube channel. Gavin Lux. Gavin Lux runs a YouTube channel where he shows off cool skateboard tricks. And he doesn't always land them, and he's not afraid to show you when he biffs it. But eventually, he lands most of them, and he does some pretty cool stuff. Not quite Tony Hawk level, but plenty interesting to make a living on YouTube.
I can see that. Obviously, the easy one for Lux would be a gamer, but we're not going to go with the easy ones here. All right, my last one could apply to a few Dodgers. I didn't know who exactly to go with, but I'll go with Clayton Kershaw. And Clayton Kershaw is a stay-at-home dad, because we all know Ellen Kershaw is an absolute stud, and whatever she wanted to do in life, she probably could have done. And Clayton Kershaw is just happy being at home with the kids and, you know, helping them grow up while Ellen is out being a rock star. This also could apply to Justin Turner, because Courtney is also in the same boat as Ellen. A lot of Dodger wives are, but those two specifically, but Kershaw specifically, you know, if he's not playing baseball, he's perfectly fine staying at home and letting Ellen do the dealings.
Yeah, that's a good one. Some of my honorable mentions that I didn't get to. I had Kershaw as a youth pastor. Dustin May is obviously a circus clown. David Price is an airline pilot. Like, you can picture him in a pilot's uniform, right?
Yeah, as soon as you said it, I pictured him in a uniform.
Yeah, for sure. Edwin Rios, obviously a movie star, but a specific kind of movies, if you know what I mean. I have Mookie Betts as a fashion model, like a runway model, maybe for whatever the opposite of big and tall clothes is, you know, short and small clothes. I think that's most of my good ones.
Yeah, those are some good ones. Pedro Baez was a farmer for me, but wasn't really too exciting. I wanted to think of
something. I thought of him as a bullfighter.
I can see that too.
Yeah, like I could picture him like, you know, but instead of waving the red flag and like dodging the bull, he just takes it head on. You know, hey bull, you want to wrestle? Maybe, you know what? Maybe kind of going along with your farmer idea. When I lived in Montana, I actually used to help brand cattle, and so a cowboy would rope the cow's back, the calf's back legs, and then I would have to wrestle it to the ground and hold it. So the rope is pulling the back legs, and I'm holding the head and the front legs while they brand the calf. And I could totally see Pedro Baez be in that wrestling the calf to the ground role. So
that's perfect. It's a perfect marriage of what we had. Obviously, we could have got into most of everyone else, and maybe one day we will. But that'll do it for today. Jeff, you got anything more before we head out?
How is David Price not an airline pilot yet?
That's true.
Like, yeah, that one just fits. No, I got nothing else. This was fun. Thanks again to Doug for the suggestion.
Yeah, that's definitely a fun suggestion. Just kind of like the planets one we had a couple weeks ago. So any other suggestions like that, we're more than happy to take them. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you download. Make sure you listen. Make sure you rate and review if you haven't. Make sure you tell your friends, tell your family. Make sure you post about us on social media. Those social media handles, at Locked On Dodgers on Twitter and Instagram. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Samperio. If you want to call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text, the number is 323-863-LOCK, 323-863-5625. Or you can shoot us an email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye.